Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Michigan Avenue Media. A good story is a good story. Hosted by Marsha Casper Cook. Live shows every week with interesting interviews in the entertainment field with writers, producers, directors, and screenwriters. There's also shows about newsworthy topics and group discussions about writing tips to help writers reach success. New to the show are conversations about personal struggles and how to feel good about yourself in today's world. One thing's for sure, it's always a lively conversation and lots of fun. So sit back and enjoy the show.
Hi, everybody. It's Marsha Cook, and we have a great show today. Melissa Smith is on, and we are going to talk about becoming a self-published author, all you need to know. And I think that, you know, last week, this is a continuation. Last week, Becca Stein was on, and she does coaching, and she has programs for writing. And I promised you that I would bring someone that will tell you how to do this affordably, you know, because it is difficult to spend a lot of money on this, and each book you do costs money. So, but nevertheless, it's important to get everybody's book out there, because I'm an independent author also, and I think it's the best time for people to get their stories out. And Melissa is also an author, you know, of fiction, and she's a marketing person, she's an editor, she does a teaser, she's done my teasers, and if you've seen a lot of the, you know, my shows and the pictures are on them, and they're on all my 50 million Facebook pages that I still have and I keep trying to get rid of, and call Melissa and say, do you have this or do you have that? Can you help me with this? Because it's hard. So, you know, I have made many mistakes along the way. But I think, you know, it's important for everybody to listen to this, because I think we're going to talk right from the beginning of what you do. Because, you know, even if you've done this for a while, sometimes you, for your next book, this might be a path to getting it, more, you know, be more successful at getting it where you need to get it. So, hi, Melissa. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. So we are going to discuss all of the aspects of this book, because it's very thorough and you start at the beginning of what people should do. So tell everybody a little bit about yourself first, and then we'll talk about the book.
Okay. So I started writing back in 2020 after having my daughter in 2019. Becoming a stay-at-home mom, I got bored being home all the time. I had no friends, you know, my family worked, so I was alone with a newborn child 90% of my time. My husband worked 10 to 12-hour days to support us, so, yeah. You know, it got boring, and I wanted a way to not only make a little bit of extra money, but to do something that I enjoyed, something that made me happy and gave me purpose in my life. So I came across KDP in my Google searches and Indeed searches for remote jobs, and nothing else worked for me because I had to be on a time schedule. This is on my time schedule, so I can do what I want. And when I started this, you know, KDP makes it sound like you can do everything completely free because they offer everything you need, and they do, but it's all very, very basic. So they only offer about like 8 covers, and their Kindle Create for formatting is very simple. It only has like 3 themes, and not that that's bad. I'm not going to diss it, but it's a good way to get started, but you have to be aware that those 8 covers.
It's confusing too. It is confusing.
Well, yeah, it is, because you have to learn how to utilize those things, but you also have to remember that a lot of other people have the same idea that, oh, well, they offer this stuff for free, I can use it. So there's multiple books out there with the same covers and the same formatting because everybody used KDP's options. And I learned that the hard way with my first book. I published it using all of their stuff, and then I found another book with almost the same title and the same cover, and I was like, okay, I have to change this. I have to find something else.
Yeah.
So I started looking into anything I could use for free to get there. And it took a while for me to understand that Instagram and Facebook had author communities. And by making author friends, I started learning from them. They started teaching me that, hey, groups are where you want to be. Or there's these things called parties and hops that you can join, and you can meet readers and other authors, and you can give free books away so that you can get reviews back and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, whoa, all this stuff is possible completely free? Are you kidding me? I had no idea. And so I wanted to write all this stuff down in a way that would help somebody who's in my shoes, who does not have a budget for authoring. I had zero budget. I had to do this for free. So I had to figure out how to make a cover, how to format, how to edit the book myself, because I couldn't afford help from anybody. There was no way. So I'm still managing to do 99% of this on my own. I don't make my own covers, but I have a service agreement with my cover artist, and that's only going to last for so much longer before I have to start paying. Yeah. So it's, you know, there are ways around it if you're capable of doing it. I'm learning to make covers myself now. I've made a few of my novella covers. So I'm learning it so I can do it myself if I need to in the future, because I don't make enough to afford right now. So we'll see how that goes.
Right. But there are places that are less money than, you know, there. I'm trying to find that for people too, you know, people that are reasonable, that because sometimes when you're out there and you're just starting, you don't know. You say, oh, they said it was $1,000 for a cover. So is it? I mean, no, you don't have to spend $1,000. You could spend 80 or 90 or 100. I had Dar Alpert on, and she talked about that. And then I changed my covers, you know. I always like my covers, but I think new covers sometimes work well. So you have changed a lot of your things, and you also change things. So that's, you know, I'm intercepting in this only to say that if you have a book and you don't like the cover, you can change that. So, you know, a lot of people don't know, they don't think they should, or they wonder if they can, or you can, because it does help sales sometimes. Okay, go ahead.
The cover is completely changeable at any point in time. Amazon won't allow you to change your title or anything like that, so you have to be wary of that. If you're going to change the title, you have to delete the previous book and completely re-upload, meaning you will lose all of your reviews and everything else that came with it.
Right.
So you have
to
be careful about how you change things, but you can absolutely change a cover. And
I lost reviews because of that, and you can't get them back. They will not put them on.
Right. If you're even able to get them transferred over, it's a whole fiasco. But you can get pre-made covers and stuff for people for like $35 if you're willing to use what they did with them. And you can, oftentimes you can get them to change the title for you and stuff like that with little things for free or for a small additional fee. But I've never done that myself. I prefer to do the cover after I write the book. So I want the cover to match the book story.
Yeah, I do that too. I wait till later, usually. Yeah. But some people don't. They want it first.
Yeah.
Because they want to say, okay, everybody
does things. Yeah, everybody does things differently. And that's one thing that I really wanted to iterate with this book, is that you don't have to publish in a specific way. Every author's journey is different, and it's catered to them. So your genre, your stories, how you promote yourself and your books, all of that is going to depend on you, your abilities, your stories, and everything there. Not everything works for every author. And I'm so tired of opening up my social media and seeing authors just absolutely downtrodden by the fact that they are not capable of making sales. They're not finding the readers that they need. They're struggling with absolutely every aspect of the journey. And it's like, you do realize that you don't have to do what other people do. Just because groups work for me doesn't mean it works for you. You're allowed to take your own path. I mean, one of the authors I used to PA for, she stopped working with me and started working with somebody who was better at TikTok, because that's where she felt that she was getting her engagement. And now she seems to be doing quite a bit better because TikTok works for her. It doesn't work for me, but it works for her. And I'm completely okay with that. She's happy and I'm happy, and that's all that matters. You know, this journey is not linear. It's going to be difficult. You're going to have ups and downs. You're going to struggle, and things are not always going to work out. But your story and your words, your messages, do not have a shelf life. Your story will live on past your death. So do not think that you can't succeed just because you're struggling now. I mean, Bram Stoker didn't get famous until after he died, and now he's huge.
Yeah.
So you know, you know. Will live on forever.
We're all hoping
forever
we're still alive
this.
When we, our books get that successful, right?
Yeah. That's what we all hope for.
Yeah, right. One wish.
I just think it's an encouraging thought that, you know,
yes,
even if you
is.
Don't make the money that you want while you're alive, your stories and messages will live on. And I think that's more important
I
than
agree.
The money. It's the
yes,
stories and
I,
messages
I
that
think
we
it is.
Give to people.
Right. And I think people think they are going to make a lot of money. And in your book, you're explaining that. And you don't, and you know, you wrote your book so people don't give up. And you're encouraging them, and that's
mm-hmm.
what counts. And that's why I do my show, because I want people to know that a lot happens to us the same as it does to everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you're doing this,
yeah.
like I am for 20 years, you can find new avenues, and you can listen to other people for advice. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
I met you a few years ago, but you have a lot of good advice. And I've been doing this 20 years, but in different ways. So I think if people listen, that's the thing about your book, is that you are telling people there are other ways to do things, and you don't have to feel bad about yourself if you're not doing it the same way as someone else. Because on the sites, I know what you're talking about, people, and people are giving bad advice, which even makes me very upset.
Mm-hmm.
They don't give good advice. They really don't. And then people leave. They just leave. And that's what your book is here for, so they don't leave.
Well, yes, and I do try to reiterate it several times throughout the book in each section that I recommend that every author take every piece of advice they're given. Now, taking that advice and writing it down is one thing. Utilizing that advice is another. Noting the advice that you get, you hold on to that and you look through it and decide what is useful to you. What are you capable of doing? Which of these tasks are going to work for your abilities and your social medias and whatever it is that you're trying to accomplish? If it doesn't work for you, don't use it. Just because people give you advice doesn't mean you have to use it. You are allowed to be picky and utilize what works for you. If you try something and it doesn't, you go back to that list and you find something else. But that's the nice thing about advice. It's everywhere, but it doesn't mean you have to use it. You are allowed to be picky and discern what works for you and what doesn't.
Yeah. Which is what happens, you know, because you want to, you know, it's a lot to take in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really is. It's a lot to take in. And that's why, you know, people want to, they don't realize how much work. It really does. It takes a lot of work
mm-hmm.
to do this. But I think what people don't understand is that there's no rut. If you're independently publishing, you know, I know you say self-publishing, a lot of people do. I call it independently publishing because you're making the decision. You know, you make the decisions on the cover. You make the decision on the word count, on where you're putting it. If you're going on TikTok, if you're going to make it an audio book, if you're going to make it a paperback, or if it's a children's book, is it going to be a hardcover? So those are the things that you can choose because
mm-hmm.
you're the boss.
Right.
Which
and
is
I think that's
thing.
Why so many people get burnt out in this business, because self-publishing or independent publishing, however you want to word it, it is overwhelming because you are responsible for every aspect of it. You are completely in charge of absolutely everything. And there's a misconception that people have that being traditionally published is better because they'll promote you and they do marketing. They don't. They don't. Traditional publishers do not do marketing.
Right, no.
No,
yeah.
most
not,
of them don't
like
because they're not big enough to afford that. It's too much.
Yeah.
So no matter how you go about it, there is a 90% chance that you're going to have to do your own marketing and everything else too. And that's a lot of work, which is why in the book I recommend scheduling everything ahead of time. Whether you subscribe and pay for an independent scheduling app or you utilize the ones within the social medias you use, schedule what you can ahead of time so that you have more time to sit back and write and edit and work on graphics and whatever it is that you need to do so that you're not constantly posting all the time and wasting time. You don't have to log in and post fresh every single day.
What scheduling app do you use? What scheduling app do you use?
I use the ones within my social media platform. So because I typically use Instagram and Facebook, I just use the Meta Business Suite. It allows me to schedule for my Instagram page, my Instagram profile, my Facebook page, and even Facebook groups. So I can do all three of those on the computer if I want to. And I utilize that like crazy. I schedule a whole month at a time. And so I have like one to three posts going live every single day, and I don't even touch them. I take one day. It takes me almost a whole day to sit down and schedule everything I want to schedule. Yeah. And then I just walk away for the rest of the month. It's done. So all I do is answer the comments that come in when the posts go live. I don't have to mess with it. I don't have to. And I can still post live if I want to. If I come across something and I decide I want to share it, I absolutely can. There's no reason you can't. But it just makes it easier on you to plan that ahead of time, and then you can set it and walk away and forget it for a while, and then you can focus on other things. It frees up so much of my time to write and edit and, you know, self-care and whatever it is that I need to do so that I'm not, like, bogged down with stress.
You mentioned that in the book about self-care, too. You talk about that, too.
Yeah.
Which is very important.
Yes, because it goes hand in hand with that burnout. If you spend every second of every day pushing so hard to get as many words written as you can and to edit as much as you can and to make all these graphics, not only are your eyes going to hurt, your brain is going to wear out, your body's going to get tired, everything about you is going to be like, this is so hard, it just sucks.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to. If you step back, make yourself a schedule, plan things out, and only do things in chunks that are doable for you, and when you start getting overwhelmed, walk away. Walk away, take a bath, go take a walk, sit outside in nature, do some breathing exercises, whatever you've got to do to calm yourself down and find your happiness again. I know I said it in the book too, that when it comes to my release days, because releases are so overwhelming for me, trying to plan the parties and the hops and get everything scheduled and get the arcs out and everything, it's so overwhelming that I actually will take my release day off and I won't even touch my computer. I will sit down and just watch. You know, I'll binge watch some SVU or I'll take a bath or a walk or whatever, and I'll just enjoy
it. I think that's what I've heard a lot is the release date. You know, I release with Fidelity Publishing, and she's all, you know, I don't usually release that way. I just release when I release, because there's a lot. If you're on Amazon and you're releasing it and if you're late, they're not happy. So can you explain a little bit about that? Because that is a difficult thing to have to change your date and make them happy. And I don't really know why they care that much, because you're the one that's doing all the work. So I really don't know why they care that you are changing the date, because you can't do it. So I think people feel they get very stressed on their date.
I think I mentioned it in the book too, that how you handle your release is up to you. Some authors, like my friend Luna, she will set a release date a year in advance and spend the whole year writing that book and prepping it and getting it ready to go. Other people like me don't set a release date until the book is written, edited, and ready to get out there. So I wait until I am done with my self-edit. And then I go, okay, I have my calendar in front of me. I reach out to my aliens and I go, hey, how long is it going to take you guys to edit this book? And they go, 2 weeks. I need a month, whatever. Okay, so I'm going to give you guys 2 weeks to a month. That means the ARC readers need at least 2 weeks. So that means I can release on this date. That sounds good with everybody. And then we go, okay, that's what we're going to do. And I start making countdown graphics and I start getting everything scheduled. I reach out for any places to host parties or anything if I need that. You know, and I just start getting everything scheduled and set up. But by then, the book is finished. It's already, I've got it formatted and ready to go, or it's, at least it's in the hands of my editing team. And then I will format it, whatever. But by that point, the book is essentially finished by me. So I'm not as stressed out. At that point, I can go, okay, it's in their hands. Now I can focus on this stuff. I'll come back, handle whatever they tell me I need to correct, and then we're on to formatting and getting it loaded up to Amazon. So I set my pre-order. I only set my pre-order about a month before I actually release. So that way I'm Yes, it works better for me that way. But I've also been told that Amazon has this deal where they will promote something new on their website for about the first 3 months that it's on there. So if you have a year-long pre-order, they're going to promote 3 months of the pre-order, and that's it. So when the book goes live, nobody's going to know, because Amazon's not going to say a word. They've already done their 3 months worth of promotion. They don't care.
So when you make the decision to have pre-order, Amazon helps?
when you put a book on their site, when you put a book up on KDP, whether it's pre-order or live, they will usually take the first 3 months to help you promote it, which means they usually put it in like their newsletter of, you know, like upcoming releases or brand new releases or whatever.
Okay.
And so they'll do minimal promo. I'm not saying it's a lot, it's minimal, but it's something.
Okay.
But they only do it for 3 months. So if your pre-order is a year long, they're only going to promote for the first 3 months of that pre-order. So when your book goes live, they don't care. They don't even acknowledge it because they already did their 3 months of promo. They're done. You know, so that's the nice thing about doing a one-month pre-order.
Do you want to explain about, because I think a lot of people, if they're just going to write about Kindle Unlimited, and should they go wide? Because that's important.
Yeah, I did talk about that as well.
Yes.
It's a personal decision, and it's something that you can change your mind on if it doesn't work out for you.
Right.
So it depends on how you want to handle things. I started out with KU because it was free, and I thought, oh, well, people can read it for free. You know, those page reads, it can't be that bad. So I started out there just because it was the simplest choice for me. It was only one place, and I didn't have to work so hard. And I eventually attempted to go wide with only one of my series to see how it worked out. And I got no sales from anywhere but Amazon. So for me, it's pointless to go wide because I'm not getting out there. I'm just not being seen. So KU works for me. But I do know other authors who have a wider reader base, and so they're capable of making sales at Barnes & Noble and Kobo and all these other places. So what I recommend is authors take the time to look into each one of them. If you're willing to allow the exclusivity that KDP offers, if you're comfortable with that, try it out for, say, the three-month period that they offer. Just don't renew it. And when you're done with that 3 month period, then maybe add your books to Draft to Digital or Ingram Spark, if that's your choice, and see how they do there for 3 or 4 months. And if you get better sales on Draft to Digital, maybe it's better for you to stay wide. If you don't, then maybe KU is where it's at for you for now. But you're not stuck there. No matter which choice you choose, you are absolutely allowed to change your mind and remove your books from Draft to Digital and put them back on KDP or vice versa.
I do that quite
frequently. There is no rule
that
says it's forever.
Yeah. I do that. You know, Smashwords was bought by Draft to Digital. And so they do go, I'll see, because I'm taking my books off slowly, you know, because they were on, and I was on Smashwords for a while, and I didn't sell. But there are some people that do really fabulous on Smashwords. But Draft to Digital does entail Kobo and everything else. And I probably should remind people, when you put yourself on Amazon, just alone Amazon, you, if you're anywhere else, they take you off.
You can be on Amazon and other places at the same time if you're not enrolled in Kindle Unlimited. If you enroll in Kindle Unlimited, they have a clause of exclusivity. You are not allowed to sell your ebook anywhere else.
But
however, you can sell your paperback anywhere else. So I'm planning to put my paperbacks up on Draft to Digital and see if I can't get them out into other places, because I believe that they're starting to do the print on demand like Amazon does.
Yeah.
So if they're doing that, then there's
lot.
No reason
right.
not to put your paperbacks wide.
They've done a lot lately, you know, because they have a lot of different avenues for people, different countries. You know, this is hard, you know, because it does take work to try to do this. But I think, you know, if I were starting all over again, there are, like what you're saying right now, what people need to do is, like, when you're starting out right now, it's very different than it was 10 or 15 years ago. It's much different. There's so many different more outlets that you can do. But, you know, the people like myself who've done this for all these years, I go off and on and off, and I don't exactly know the answer. And Audible I like. Now, Audible is ACX, which your books are also on ACX. ACX is good, but, the thing about ACX is you have to sign a contract for 7 years, and I did. And so I did it because I don't love contracts, but I did it because I felt – they do a good audiobook. You get really good narrators. And the fact is, if you do, you can. 7 years is a long time, but if Amazon goes out of business, then we're all in trouble, because as the world relies on Amazon, because there's Amazon Spain, Amazon Japan, there's Amazon UK, Canada. So I think it's safe if they want to go on, you know, Audible, and because Amazon owns it. And then Goodreads also. So, you know, do you recommend Goodreads for people?
I mean, if you can figure it out, absolutely. I utilize Goodreads mostly for reviews right now, because I have yet to really use it as a social media platform. Goodreads is meant to be an author social media platform, but I've even tried looking into the groups and stuff, and I have yet to figure out exactly how they work, because it is a little different than what I'm used to. So it's a little overwhelming for me right now.
You know what? And nobody can, I don't know, people figure it out, but I can't. I go on there. And the problem with it is that people can say, like, okay, I'm going to read your book. And then I look down the list of people that looked at it 10 years ago. They still haven't read the book. They probably just did.
People
on Goodreads anymore. But it is hard to understand. And also, there's something with, there's a librarian that you have to ask questions to. If you want to do something, because I asked Robin from Fidelity Publishing, I go, why is they keep saying it's my book, and they keep saying you have to talk to, you know, someone else, a librarian. So I don't really know. I'm going to look into that, because they're the ones that can answer questions, because almost everybody that nobody even talks about Goodreads. They use it, but it's very, if once I get on it, I go, we're talking about stress, and I'm not really that stressful a lot of the time. You are stressed on that, because I don't think anybody understands how to do it that I know, because it just is difficult.
Yeah, it's a very overwhelming platform. It's a lot, but I've learned that there's a trick to this whole book thing. So if you don't go on Goodreads and upload your book yourself before the pre-order goes live, they automatically upload it from Amazon and try to attach it to whoever they believe it's supposed to be attached to. And if they attach it to the wrong author, then the only person who can change that is a Goodreads librarian. So there's a Facebook group that I'm in that I have listed in the back of the book that you can join, and you can go in there and request help from a librarian. There's also a group chat within Goodreads that you can go into to request the librarian's help, and they can move the book over for you. Therefore, you can edit
because
it.
Because that might have been what happened to me. So will you send me the link later of how to find that? Yeah, because that sounds like a possibility, because when I'm doing this for so many years already, that's the thing. What we're giving people information that if you're just starting out with a new book even, just start out this way in a certain way, because sometimes whatever you did 5 years ago doesn't work. So when you're starting a new book, then there are ways to do it where you might be more successful than you were with your other book, and then you will understand what you didn't 5 years ago, because once the other book develops into something bigger, it might help. Because there are that's the thing. You almost have to help yourself. So even if you are with an independent with a small publisher, we're going to take your book, we're going to pay for it, put it out, but we are not doing marketing. So this is not happening. So you got to learn all this. And if you don't, you can't really get anything out there, because you don't know what you're doing. That's why your book takes them step by step in different ways, and all the problems that occur of how to fix it and how to not be stressed about it. Because it does happen to all of us. I don't care how many years people are doing it. It doesn't come that easily, because they keep changing the site. Facebook, Instagram. They do what they do, and they don't always tell you that they've changed it. So I have a question that you can answer for. I am sure this happens to other people. So when they just make the decision to go on Facebook, tell them how they do it. Tell them, because they did not have it years ago, profile, pages, groups. You just went out there. So can you explain to people? Because I think that you have to do it right. Because if you don't, you end up like me with 10 pages and you can't figure out what you did wrong. And you know you didn't do anything wrong, because 10 years ago or 15 years ago, it was different. So I think when people are starting out, what's the best thing that they can do when they go on Facebook? Because You know how many questions, you know how it is. There's so many questions. You ask a question and it gets you to another page, and then they say, did this help? So I'm just starting to write, no, this did not help
yeah.
me. It's confusing. So tell people how
yeah.
they do that, how they start their profile.
So what I've had the same Facebook profile since I was 13. So I joined Facebook back in 2010 or something like that when I was only 13
yeah.
years old. somewhere along those
okay.
lines. When I started this and I looked into their policies on how to use what was best to do, because I noticed that there were pages. There were profiles, there were groups. I'd never used a group before. I'd never used a page before. I had no idea what I was doing.
Right.
The only thing I'd ever had was my profile, and I barely even used it to begin with. So
right.
I went looking through their terms and agreements and whatnot, and they made it quite clear that they do not like people trying to sell anything from a profile. If you're going to be a business or an author or even a celebrity of any kind, because you are possibly going to be selling or even offering things to be sold, they would prefer you to have a page for that. So I then made a page for my authoring and my book services business. So the page, I'm more comfortable saying, you know, there's a sale on my book, or, you know, this book is live or whatever, because I'm then basically, without saying it, I'm asking people to go buy that book. So I'm basically trying to gain sales, and that's exactly what a page is for, to gain sales.
Okay.
Whether you get sales through Facebook or not. Yeah, a profile
okay.
is meant to be your personal profile for connecting with other people. It's meant to be your connection point with other people, friends, family,
okay.
things that you're interested in. It's not a selling platform. That's what the pages are for. The groups are more for building your own community around something
right.
that you choose. A lot of authors will start their own Facebook group because, like me, specifically, I'm a lot more open and a lot more comfortable in my group because it's private, so the whole world can't see what I'm posting. Only those within the group can see it. I have a small screening process to get into it, so it's a private group, but it's also the people within that group are like my elite readers and some of my best author friends. So it's my most supportive community. It's my most active community. They genuinely care about me, about my writing, about the messages I have to say. So it doesn't matter whether I post something personal or professional, they have something supportive to tell me. And I always appreciate that. And it makes me feel more comfortable with posting. So I don't share a lot about my daughter's soccer and things like that on my page because I don't need the whole world knowing about it. It's not their business. But
right.
I will share some
right.
of it in my group because I know that those readers genuinely care about my personal life too. It makes a difference.
Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. And I see that. But so, and that, so that's a good thing for people to understand because years ago when people started, I think this is for a lot of people that have been doing this for years, they're not getting what they did years ago because they're not getting people to see things. So like I'm saying, like you with the groups, you make it private. So if the group is
mm-hmm.
private, but once you make it private, you can't open it, I think. Is that true? They say
I don't know that you can change it to public, but
right.
it's your choice whether you want your group to be public or not. If it's public, then anybody can open the group and they can look through your stuff. They might even be able to comment and like things without actually joining the group. But I prefer to have a private group where people have to answer 3 questions to get into the group, and then at least that way they know what they're getting into by joining my group, and I know that they understand that they're not just here to be nosy. You know, they know these are the books I write, this is why they're here, they're interested in the same genres, they're going to fit in here and it's going to be okay. That's what I
so
want
can
is
you,
for them. They also feel comfortable.
Can you speak a little bit about, because people, we've been talking about this on a lot of shows that I've had. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So when people are on Facebook and they don't see any shares, they don't see any likes, what happened there? What was their mistake? Or what is going on why that doesn't appear on other, you know, people just go, nobody's sharing? Because I think people that did this 10 or 15 years ago, it was there, everybody shared. But now you look at things and there's no sharing. So they may need to get a page.
It's not necessarily that the person posting did anything wrong. It's more about the fact that, for one, 50,000 outlets now. So even Facebook in itself has so many different outlets for people to look at. They could be looking at posts. They can look at reels. They can look at groups. They can look at feeds. They have so many different things that they can look at that it's very easy to miss these posts. The other thing is that when Facebook started out back in whenever it was, when I first started with this, the feeds were always in chronological order. They were always in the order that people posted in. So you saw posts from now and then later. So there was no randomness to it. Now the feeds run on an algorithm based on popularity. So the more popular the post is, the higher it goes in your feed. So it's not your fault if you're not being seen. It's the fact that the algorithms are literally screwing you over. So that's why so many people talk about all the time mastering the algorithm.
So the person can do nothing.
Well, it's difficult to say that because there are a lot of people out there that claim that there are ways around the algorithm. You can break the algorithm. You can master it. You can blah, 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 blah. Certain hashtags, certain visuals, certain things are supposedly supposed to help you get higher up. But I don't necessarily know that I believe that because I have had posts that some posts do really well and some posts get nothing at all. And they're no different. I can post the same thing 2 different weeks in a row and it'll get completely different engagement each time I post it. It has nothing to do with that kind of thing. I think it's just the audience, the timing, you know, and whether or not these people are actually seeking you out. What are you offering for them to come to you? Why should they want to come to you? You have to kind of find not only what makes you desirable, but also what you have to offer that people are going to want. And then you have to attract the right people.
You've been working on that. So what is the secret to that of making them want to come to your page? Do you have an idea what people and I know you do this well, and I know I don't do it well. So, I mean, I do it a lot. And so people that know me, they go, oh, you got all this out there. I don't even know what I'm doing. I'm putting stuff out everywhere. And then I have a lot of people that are doing it also for me. And you make teasers for me. And I am out there a lot. But that's the other thing. So I am like a random person that, I just put things out. And maybe it's not bad for people to do that because, honestly, when you really think you have a plan, the next day you don't. So I have a plan.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you tell people to do? What can they put? A lot of people, I know what I'm putting out there and a lot of things, but if people don't know what to put out there, what should they put out?
So one thing that I've recommended in the book is that if you're really unsure about how to utilize social media to its benefit, is to look up Nixdis Media or listen to their book, Marketing Simplified podcast. It's on Spotify, whatever. I started listening to it, and they basically recommend that because social media is meant to be a social media, it's literally designed for you to build connections, not make sales. The whole point of utilizing social media is to make connections. So some of my best posts have almost nothing to do with my book. I'm making genuine connections with my readers. I'm asking basic, simple questions that require 1 or 2 word answers. And then I comment back to them and we start a discussion. And that makes all the difference. When you build those connections, they then kind of see that you have multiple things to offer. You're interested, so I have multiple topics I discuss. So my book being sci-fi romance, crime drama romance, and then I have a YA sci-fi series. So my topics are typically I talk about Law and Order, I talk about faith, I talk about nature, things that I enjoy, and then I have positivity messages that I share. And all of those things are actually incorporated in my books as well. So by making these connections with them on a personal level, I can then go, did you know that I also mentioned the same thing in my book? You can find it here, or you can follow me here for more information on it, or something like that. And that's where you lead them to sales.
Is that
on my page, or even that's on my Instagram profile, and it's on my Facebook page is where I typically do those. So, and I do them in my group too, but it's a good way for you to build these connections. You build these personal connections based around things that you have in common with your books and your readers. And then when you start building those connections and they keep coming back and posting and commenting on your posts, you can kind of go, did you know that this goes with my books as well? If you didn't know that, you might check them out here or whatever. And that's where they recommend you, you know, that's where Mixed Media talks about that funnel. You start wide in social media and you make these genuine connections with people, and then you funnel them into your page, to your website, to your blog, whatever it is, your newsletter that you use to get those sales. So you have to start with genuine connection, then you can make the sale. If all you're doing is posting and going, look at my book, it's live, buy my book, people are going to walk away because they're like, great, you put out a book. If I wanted it, I'd go to a bookstore. They don't care. They don't want to see that. They want to get to know you because that's what social media is for. And I think that's where a lot of authors make their mistake. I made that mistake in the last year. I did so much promo where all I did was post reviews on my books, teasers on my books, you know, just general book graphics where all I did was go, hey, did you see this book? Did you know I wrote this book? Did you see this book? Did you see the review on this book? And people eventually stopped responding to everything I posted because they were like, yeah, we get it. You're an author. Shut the fuck up. And they don't care. They just, they walk away. They get bored.
It doesn't always work that way for some people. Some people, you know, people do like to, you know, they like to see if you've written new books, if you've got another promo, if you've got, you know,
yes.
I think people like that,
but there's
it's
a line.
Not only going to be your friends, right? Exactly, and it's not only going
right.
to be your friends.
There's, you've got to find a balance. You've got to find the balance between promoting your books and making that connection. So I've narrowed it down to where I only post promos like one day a week. So the rest of the week is me trying to make genuine connection with readers and other authors, as where Sunday is where I will post a teaser or a review or book funnel promos that I'm in to try and gain those sales. The rest of the week is about building that connection, unless I have a release coming up, and then I will post countdowns and other things to make it really obvious that this book is coming out. But I try not to overdo the promo because that's what tends to push some people away. Bigger authors, really big authors that have really big followings and they make a bunch of money, they can do nothing but promote themselves and still get interaction and sales because they're just so massive. But that's the difference. When you're little like us, you have to build genuine connection first. You have to start somewhere. We're at the bottom. We don't have those huge followings that are just going to listen to us no matter what we say or post. We have to make genuine effort to be genuine people. And I think that's the biggest difference too, is people think, oh, well, you know, I'm an author, I should just promote my books. Well, it works for Stephanie Meyer, it works for Ellen Hopkins. It might, but they also had to start somewhere too, you know, and the difference
and
too is that
like
them being so big.
Like I like when people come on the shows and it's good for them because then they get the link, and no matter what anybody says, when people hear your voice, they like it. They want to hear you and what your thoughts are, even if it's about whatever subject, you know, you're talking about. So that is a good thing. And so if people are shy about getting on a show, I didn't even want to do it when I first went on a show, and 15 years later, I've done 15 years of shows. But I think people, so if, like, say they wanted to be on the show, they could email me, and I'm happy to put them on. Then the show they will use as a link, and then that gets them, if they don't want to do a TikTok, at least they hear who they are. Because remember when I first met you, you go, I don't know if I want to do a show. And then you did shows, you know, and you're great in it, you know. But that's the thing that most people don't say, oh, I don't want to do that. And I didn't want to do it either. But it's really good PR for people because I think people like to know we're real. Because I am not a person also that no matter – I probably should do what you're saying because I think asking questions, I don't like these things. But it's not that I don't like people because everybody – I love people. But when I have to do questions, I'm thinking, oh, I don't know where I want. But I think you're right. The way you're putting it now is if they make a – page just to promote, like if they like fashion, if they like movies, you know, things like that, because it does get old. And I think a lot of people are tired of promoting their books because we all know all this promotion, they're not buying our books. You have to do other things for that because you're right. They don't want to keep seeing that. So maybe like a lot of people do put you know, like, you know, poems on sayings, different things. And maybe that's a good way for them to go. Is that what you're saying? That would help people.
Yeah.
Make more connections.
Well, and see, I think the biggest thing that, and it happened to me too when I started this, is I thought the same thing when I started out, was that, you know, all these big name authors that I follow, that's what they do. They post about their books and how they're turning them into movies or whatever. And it's just everything is about their work. It's not necessarily about them. And that works for them, but there's a huge difference, is that they are so massive that they're basically celebrities. So they're not going to post about their lives anymore because they don't need to, for one. They don't need to make those connections. They're connected to their work. That's all they need. But for somebody who's starting out like us, because we are just average people that are trying to get a start in this author world, the readers, they want to know the authors. They want to know about us. And there's a reason that celebrities hide their personal lives, because people are nosy and they want to know what you do in life. They want to know what you do, how many kids you have, where you live, what you like to do for fun, because they want to connect to you on a genuine level. They want to feel like your friend. And if you don't make that opportunity, you know, if you don't reach out for that opportunity and make friends with your readers, you're going to lose them, because, you know, your stories might be good, but that may not be enough to keep them. They might really want to get to know you. And the readers that I've gotten to know on a very deep and personal level, they have stuck with me from the beginning through every one of my stories, whether they like them or not, because they genuinely like me and the messages that I put into my stories, and they will stick by me because of that and because I'm here for them. And that makes a huge difference.
Right, which is why, you know, in my own particular life, I am posting my shows more than my books now, because I feel like I love my, not that I don't love my books, but I do love my shows. So, and I love the people I meet. And I do think that the information that I have on my shows is helpful to everybody, because I am just like everybody else. 20 years into this, there's still new things and, you know, that people can do. So they, I don't want them to get stagnant and they don't do anything. You can't just put a book out or think you're going to have a career if you do nothing. Because there are a lot of people that put a book out and they do nothing. But, like, I believe in a lot of things. Like, you have made tons of teasers for me. I do believe in that. You know, Crystal does a lot of teasers for me, and I have Mickey does teasers. I think teasers are nice because people like to look at different things. You don't want them to come on your page and see the same thing over and over again. So, I mean, that's like you're great at that. So you enjoy that. So you change your own up all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I typically follow a simple color scheme so that people recognize my posts based on the color scheme and the logos that are on them.
Yeah,
but other
good.
Than that, I do try to change things up a little bit so that it's not constantly the same, but I use the same graphics each week for the themed questions, basically. But outside of that, I just, if you follow a color scheme that matches, you know, your logo or your books or whatever, people can easily discern those from other people's graphics because they remember, oh, Melissa's all about that teal. We see teal, we know it's her, you know, and that sticks in people's brains. You know, it's just like, I think I said it in the book, your logo and your colors, it's a lot like, you know, like Walmart or, you know, any of these other brands like that, like PlayStation. They have this logo that they've had for years and years and years. And even if you don't see the name of that company, all you see is their color and that shape, you know, that's Walmart or that's PlayStation or that's whatever.
Right.
You know it because it sticks with you. So if you brand yourself like that and you stick with it, people begin to recognize what's yours versus other people.
Yeah. You know, like, you know, there are people like myself, in which I use a lot of, because I, you know, I'm not always, you know, I do change a lot, as we know, and I do, you know, and that's probably not, I mean, I give people advice and I tell them not what I do because I do change a lot and I don't know that that's so great. I remember when Virginia and I started doing shows, I'd say, oh, you know, I don't like that World of Ink, you know, I don't like what it looks like. Because let's change it. So she would say no, because that is what people recognize us for. So then, you know, I go, oh, fine, you know. So then she left. Like, I kept doing Michigan Avenue Media, and I do all these different things. I put flowers, I put colors. You know, I am not the one that sticks to it. And I think it. I think your advice is much better to stick to it, because I agree. Because when I'm thinking in my head now of what you do, and I now see it, because your colors, you know, you have a lot of the colors that you use, you know. So I see that.
Well, and I think that goes with, like, book covers as well, is that people – one thing that I think people forget a lot is that everything trends, right? So everything's going to trend. It's going to come in. It's going to come out, blah, blah, blah. And, like, when I started writing books, everybody was all about the covers with man chests on them. And so my first alien book has exactly that, because my artist was like, that's what's in right now. But it's not long before those change out. And now people are going back to the – and ambiguous covers with just random images on them. They're kind of getting away from the people and the nudity and back into, you know, the flowers and face and the pretty things. So I've gotten away from the nudity thing. I'm not interested in that. Just because I write romance doesn't mean that I have to use half naked people on my images. I won't do it.
It's
not for me.
I agree.
But
I
like the fact that I like the ambiguous book covers. So, like, my cover artist, she puts people on some of my covers, and some of them they don't have it. And I'm comfortable with both because I know that no matter what happens, no matter how the trends change, eventually they will come back in style. And when they do, maybe my books will get more attention simply because they fit the trend. And that's just kind of the way it goes. So, like, I don't see any reason in keeping things the way they are, because eventually the trends will roll back in your favor and you'll be good to go. You didn't have to change a thing.
Like, it's just like in your wardrobe and things, you know, I have a black turtleneck, black leggings, boots, and then I put something newer, you know, I buy a lot of new stuff because I love clothes, and I put it over, but I use my standards, and then I move from there, because some people are just who they are, you know. And you're right, like, but look at the billionaire books. I mean, oh my God, but people really like that. So I can't say anything about it. I just don't do it. But people, the covers are great because they love it. And it's very popular. So, you know, I know you have to leave. So what are the things that you want to say before, you know, we have to end the show, and where can they find you? You don't have a website. You use your Facebook and all your social media, right? And your newsletters.
Well, I don't have a newsletter anymore. I lost it due to the changes from Google and Yahoo. Upped their security so that anybody trying to send a newsletter from a free domain, like @gmail.com, you'll be blocked by spam. You'll be spammed, basically, by Google and Yahoo. They will automatically throw you in the folder. MailerLite also dropped me because they refused to use a free domain. And since I don't have the budget to afford paying for a domain and a newsletter service, I have walked away from newsletters for a while. I saved my subscriber list for the future, but for now, yes, I'm only on social media. So I have Facebook, I have TikTok, I have Instagram. All of them are listed under Mel Smith Author. So you'll be able to find it if you utilize that.
Send me the links, because I didn't put them on for the show page, because that stays forever. So send me the links that you want me to put on, you know.
Yeah, I'll just
where
send
they
you
can
the link tree, because the link tree is easier, because it's got everything in it.
That's the other thing. We didn't talk about Linktree. There's so much more we could have talked, but Linktree is a good thing.
Yeah.
So if people want to know, Linktree is where you can put all of your links, and they can find you. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a website, but I use Linktree all the time because I do use the website. There's no answer to what people can use. It's what works for them, like you say, you know. But it's not necessary to have everything, you know. And, if they read your book and they're just starting out, this could save them a lot of time and energy of trying to figure things out and go like, oh, I can't afford this. And because most people out there that are independently publishing, they can't afford it. So they need to have some guide, which is a good thing that you wrote. So they have some, and they also, you answer questions that they will have, and you repeat certain things because it's important that they hear it. Because
yes,
they can never hear enough about it's hard and it's difficult, but just go through it. And you might be stressed, you know, but all of us go through this. So what on the last things that you want to say, what do you want to tell people when they're starting a book and their career at this?
definitely don't give up. If this is your passion, if this is something that you love doing, and this is something you feel strongly about, don't give up. Do not give up. You will find a way, whether it means that you read my author guide or you message me personally or find somebody else who can help you, get it figured out. Do it. Find it, because it's worth sticking with it. It's worth it. And everything that we've talked about in this podcast today, every bit of it and then some, is all in the author guide that I wrote. I put it in an order that I thought was going to be the easiest for people trying to actually publish on their own. Everything is explained thoroughly, so you know exactly what a universal link is, exactly what Linktree is. I even go through some of the genres and the tropes and even some of the like abbreviations that people use within the community, so that you're not entirely lost when trying to find friends and other things that work for you. And it's also stated in the book at the very end as well, that if you do need somebody to reach out to, my messages are always open. My email is always open. I am not opposed to helping those who need it. So if you need someone to reach out to, I am here.
Yeah, and that's a good thing. And I am here also, and that is the truth. You know, I do know Melissa, and she does help me, you know, and I do get into situations where I do put too many things out there, and I go, like, well, how do I get, you know, I do this all the time. But if you do it the right way first, you know, my way is from 20 years ago, it's different. And even 15 years ago, 5 years, even 3 years, it's different. So, you know, you're breaking down what's really necessary to begin with, whatever they do after that, but you still have to have these steps when you start. You have to
start
somewhere.
Small,
and most
and
people
then grow.
Don't know. They need help. You know, and are you still doing teasers at all for people?
Nobody's hired me for it in a long time, so it's still on there. I still have it listed under my services, but nobody really uses me for that. I mostly just edit and format for people.
I
still PA for Eddie.
Now, well, you've done a ton of them for me. And you know, and I think people do make that mistake of not getting some of these teasers that are inexpensive, and they make all the difference in people looking at your things. It makes it less boring.
Yeah.
It makes it more exciting. And I think it's important. I mean, I wouldn't have 5 million of them, but I do think it's important. You have a lot of things too, you know, but you color coordinate for yourself. That's a good idea to think about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just a person that moves on and changes too much. And as you know, that, so I'm going to follow what you said. I understand it better now about the profiles, because I don't think people actually understand it, but they don't want to say they don't. But I'm admitting it. You know, I don't. That's why I do my show. Because I do make mistakes, and I don't understand everything, because I don't want to keep reading like everybody one thing another after another on Facebook. And that's what they do.
Yeah.
It wasn't always like that. That's the problem now. Everybody forgets about it. They can't. They don't even want to bother. But they do put on there, like, did you understand this or is it good? So if you don't understand, put it in. This is not helping me, and because it doesn't.
Yeah.
You know, the good.
They don't have actual people helping either.
No. Well, I mean,
it's
right. You know, you call it right. They're algorithms or whatever. But whatever it is, people don't even like it because they are confused. So I think today you covered a lot of ground. So I'm so glad you came on. And we could go another time, maybe in a few weeks, because you have more to say. And I think people need to hear this, because they just are afraid that they can't do what needs to be done. And the way you did it, it can be done.
Yeah.
Without, you know, spending a ton of money.
Yeah.
Because you didn't. And you still have a lot, and you have a lot of, and you have a big writing community around you. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, I don't claim to be super successful or anything like that. I mean, I make regular steady income off my books. It's not a lot, but it's something. But I do
have a
large community
growing
around me, and I love that. It's a step in the right direction.
A lot of people that come on here say the same thing. They're not making a ton of money, but you at least want to, you know, have some kind of idea so you don't go around spinning your wheels and not getting anywhere. So after this, I hope this will help some of these people that, and if you have social media, redo it. It's not a bad thing. Right?
No.
I mean, if I can redo it. No, redo the things to make it easier. That's what your book is about also.
Yep.
So
come up with
a
plan and act it.
Yes. Well, you have a plan. You do. You plan. And that's a good thing. I'd like to follow a plan. I'm not one. So that's why I go the other side, and that's why I have people on like you that will say this is how you can do it to make it easier, not harder.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so that's a good thing. All right. Thank you so much. And let's do another show because I think we have a lot more that you didn't talk about. But I hope people buy your book because it's a good book to keep in your house just to sometimes you forget your way and you lose sight of what you need to do. Don't we all? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much. And thank you to everybody that's listening. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.